Are you looking for your dream job? People often paint a picture in their mind of what their dream job looks like before they even start job searching. And it's usually based on things like the prestige of a company or the salary or the job title. Well, I'm calling BS. And in part one of this two-part series, I'm sharing with you why your dream job is a myth and four ways it's costing you in your career. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I share quick insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who was able to turn my own frustration from being in an unfulfilling career into the framework I now use to help women find their fulfilling career and job search with confidence. Let's dive in. So again, let's jump in and talk about how your dream job is a myth and four ways it's costing you in your career. So let's start with how people generally define dream job. And obviously, this is going to be based off of what I've seen in terms of working with my clients. A lot of times I've noticed that people define their dream job based on the company, based on the pay, based on prestige, and based on the job title. So let's break those down. So what I've noticed is that when someone thinks of what their dream job looks like, generally, they are thinking of a job that maybe is in a company that has a big name, okay? So whether it's the Facebooks or Google or KPMG. My sister's here. She works for KPMG. That's why I said that. Just big names that are recognizable. Lockheed Martin, Barnes Jewish Hospital, whatever it may be, the company name and having a company that is reputable on their resume tends to make them think, oh, this will be a dream job because it'll make me look good. Sometimes Gracie, I think that's your name, says, yup, with the cry face. Okay. Sometimes the pay is how people define dream jobs. So if I make six figures and if I'm making money that can support my dream lifestyle, then that's a dream job, right? If I make the six figures that will allow me to buy the things and go on the trips and buy the meals and da 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 da. It's if I'm making this certain amount of money, that is my dream job. Okay, SVPS says, that's how I think of a dream job, with a crying emoji. Gloria says, same here. Okay, so it sounds like company and pay are resonating with some of you. Another way that I've noticed people define dream job, and actually the last two go together, job title and prestige. So with the job title, right, if I can get a director level job, the executive director, the associate director, the senior project manager, the surgeon, you know, these titles that when other people hear them, I sound like I'm in my bag, right? These titles that if other people hear them, they'll think that, yes, you know, she has it together. She must be making the money. She must be doing well. She has a lot of responsibilities. That's how a lot of people define dream jobs. So company, pay, the job title, and the prestige being how people present it. That's how people define dream job. Okay. And this is what I've noticed almost universally across the board. So you're coming for me. I'm coming for you. Okay. Now let me put a caveat here. A caveat that's actually not even in my notes. Those things aren't bad. Okay. Look, as someone who likes to live a luxury lifestyle, girl, I want to be a millionaire. I like money. I'm not even gonna lie. Okay. But let's become serious for a minute. But those aren't the things that make a dream job a dream. Actually, again, I don't believe in the idea of a dream job. I think your dream job is a myth. Because here's what I notice happening. People then tend to, when they've painted this picture of what the dream job is, they liken it. It's similar to your mind is now working. Now, this one is for my ladies in the room. And maybe men too. I don't know if men look for a dream woman, but it's like looking for the dream man. and he doesn't exist. He's a myth also. There's no dream man. And I'm saying this as someone who is happily married. As of right now, I pray it stays that way. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I'm not bashing men at all. But there is no dream man. There are two people who are in a relationship and who are committed to when, not if, when things get rough, to working through it and working it out because they picked each other, right? My husband is not a dream. He got faults. I got faults too. Again, not bashing him. I bet you, I could tell you what's wrong with me. I know my faults, right? But we chose each other. And so our mindset, I hope it stays this way again, is we'll work through it, you know, as long as it makes sense for both of us. Let me put it that way, right? That's kind of how I think of it. And so if that's how we go into marriage, when you've thought, oh, dream man, again, he doesn't exist. Here's the thing. You can't take that mindset into your career because your career is not a marriage. Your career is a transactional relationship. So this mindset of, oh, I'm looking for the dream man. And then when I find him, again, air quotes here, dream man, find him. I'm going to do everything. We're going to do everything we can to make it work. You can't take that into your job. Your job is transactional. This is not the space where you are developing false loyalty and I'm going to do everything I can to make it work. No, false, nada, zero. Throw that mindset away. When you go into your job, when you go into your career, and this is what I tell the women I work with, I want you to think of yourself as a lifetime consultant. You are taking the skills you have, the expertise you've developed, the knowledge you have, and using it to help multiple companies over your career. So every time I go into a job, I am a consultant for the time being. I have no loyalty to you, okay? Your loyalty as an individual who is working, again, this is for my career people, not for entrepreneurs. That's a separate conversation. But if you're someone who is working in the corporate sphere and that is your goal, is to keep growing in the corporate sphere and to hold a corporate role that has a lot of responsibility and that's your goal, you should never go into any company with this mindset of, I am loyal to you to the end of time, because one, they ain't loyal to you. No matter how good your company is, no matter how much you love them, no matter how awesome they are, you love your coworkers, they have the benefits, it's all butterflies and rainbows. Look, if you die today, they'll replace you in 2 weeks. Okay? If you had to leave for some reason, they will hire somebody else to do your job. And again, that's not shade at companies. I mean, some companies deserve the shade, but it's just business decisions, okay? Companies generally don't stay loyal to individuals if it doesn't advance the business as a whole. And so you as an individual are the CEO of your career, which means your job as the CEO is to always be looking for skills, opportunities, and knowledge that advance your career. And if that happens to not be in the current company that you're in, hey, so be it. And so if you go into the workplace looking for this dream job, air quotes again, air quotes, dream job, you're then also going in with the idea of, how do I make this dream work? Because if it's what I dreamt of, it has to work. If it's my dream, I can't just let it go without working at it, okay? And so what often happens is that costs you, okay? That dream job mindset costs you. And again, I'll share four ways it costs you. But then here's what I want to let you know, right? So if you might be watching, you might be thinking, okay, if the dream job is a myth, then what's real? And I should also pause here and say, there's a time where I've used the term dream job way back before when I first started Her Career Doctor. I've used that phrase because it's what people resonate with. It's what makes sense for people. And but recently I decided to just nix it. Oh, thanks for the badge. Hey, that's my sister. She bought me a badge. I appreciate it. But I decided to just nix that even in my own in when I speak or in what I'm doing, regardless of what people resonate with, because I'm all about finding a fulfilling career. And what I know for a fact, what I can tell you for a fact is that we can all enjoy multiple things, okay? If you have clarity, you can enjoy doing multiple things in your career. Okay. I, right now, my full-time job outside of her career doctor, my full-time job is as a faculty member. Okay. I teach. My zone of genius is teaching. I can take those same skills and do learning and development for a company. I can go to a school district and do curriculum development. I could go to a school and do consulting for them. I could go to a career services center and be a director. And I will be fulfilled in any of this. I know because I've researched them. I know what they entail. And I will be fulfilled doing any of those things because they align with my skills, they align with my values, and they align with my interests. So I just, off the top of my head, I just listed four, maybe five, I don't remember, different jobs that I would be happy doing as long as they were in the right environment. So there is no one dream job. There is, or there are, fulfilling career options. You, all of you who are watching this, you can be fulfilled doing multiple things, which is why I want you to get rid. I want you to nix dream job from your vocabulary. Okay, you probably have the ability, as long as the work is aligned, you have the ability to enjoy doing multiple things. Okay, so before I jump now to sharing the four ways it's costing you, right? Because I'm like, I want you to nix dream job, and I'm going to tell you how it's costing you. So hopefully that will convince you that your dream job is a myth if you're not convinced already. Before I share those four ways, let me check the comments. I want to read what y'all are saying in here. And again, remember, if you have a question, drop it in the question box. I'll do a Q&A at the end. Okay, amen and amen to being replaceable. Girl, those companies will replace you in a heartbeat. I like the sound of CEO of your career. I will keep this in mind. Yes, please do. You are the CEO of your career. You are always setting goals, thinking of looking for opportunities that advance your career, making business decisions that advance your career. I'm loving this discussion. Thank you for being here. I love that you're loving it. My sister Bumi says, doctor putting some knowledge on there. My pleasure. My dream job is someplace that makes a difference. Okay, linguistic addict, let's talk about that. Oh, we will talk about that. Okay, I like how you put it as making a difference because that's broad. And here's what I would challenge you, what I would ask you, what does it mean to make a difference? Because even making a difference is still a very broad term. And so even honing in, how do you want to make a difference? Because one thing I talk about, and this is a bit off topic here, y'all, but if you look at any of my content, I've talked in the past about how there are five major keys for a fulfilling career. And one of those major keys is fulfilling career is meaningful, which is what Linguistic Addict is saying here, making a difference. That's meaningful work. But here's the thing. Everybody defines meaningful work and making a difference differently. For some people, making a difference is I'm talking to you one-on-one and I can see who I'm impacting directly. For some people, making a difference is I built an app that made people's lives different. For some, making a difference is I built this building of apartments that is affordable. So now people don't have to be out on the streets. They have affordable housing, right? So making a difference is still very broad. And so you're going to want to refine that also. So let's talk about the four ways that you're believing that you have a dream job out there is costing you. And these four ways are kind of go across whether you are job searching actively or whether you're in a job right now that you thought was your dream or whether you are looking for that dream job. It's costing you in your career, and there are four ways it's doing that. So the first one is that because you're looking for a dream job, you think that you have to find something. This is for those of you who either you're currently actively job searching, you don't like what you're doing, and you're looking for your next thing. If you're looking for that dream job, you think you have to find something that you will enjoy forever. You think you have to find something that you will enjoy forever. And because you think that, the decision trying to decide on which job is your dream, again, in air quotes, is keeping you stuck. Because there's this heavy weight, like the decision just has so much weight that you've put on it because you have to find the perfect job. You have to find the dream that you'll enjoy for the next 5, 10, 15 years. And so you have to make the right decision because if you make the wrong decision, everything's going to go horribly, terribly wrong. Okay. But again, you're thinking of your dream job the way we think of marriages. Now, this is my own beliefs coming through here, okay? Let me just caveat that this is how I think of marriage, okay? When we go into a marriage, generally, we're hoping that it will last, I think, hopefully me, for a lifetime. And we're generally going into the mindset of, I'm going to do what I can to make it work, as long as, she said, as long as it's not abusive, you know, it's not unhealthy for my physical or mental health. Let me put caveats here, okay? But it's, we're going to do what we can to make it work and not give up too soon. And so we have gone into this partnership with this lifetime in our head. And this is what I was saying earlier of, so we're doing what we can to make it work. But when you think of your career that way, it puts this heavy weight on your decision-making, because you can't just pick the first thing that comes across your way. You can't just pick a job, or even sometimes when you see a job that you think you'll enjoy, like you're reading through the post, you're reading through the description and like, this looks pretty good. But as you're reading it and you're thinking, okay, but will I enjoy this in the next 10 years? Will I still want to do this 5 years from now? You're putting unnecessary weight on yourself. Okay. So I want you to shift instead of thinking, actually, let me not say that yet. I'll say that at the end, the shift I want you to make. Let me just go through the four ways it's costing you, and I'll tell you the mindset shift you need to embrace at the end. The second way it's costing you, and this is sort of like a, I don't know if this is antithesis to what I just said, but when you believe that you have a dream job, and sometimes you get into that dream job, it causes you to stay in bad situations. It causes you to stay in bad situations. Because if this was a dream, again, remember the things I said at the beginning, the company I thought was going to be the right company, the pay, the job title. And now I have this job. And because I always thought it was going to be a dream, I'm out here ignoring red flags left, right, and center. Right? I'm ignoring bad management. I'm ignoring bad communication practices. I'm ignoring bad physical environments. I'm ignoring unhealthy work culture, because it was the dream. So it really can't be that bad. So you're out here making excuses for the organization. You're waiting for things to get better. Again, because it was your dream, it has to be good. I can't just give up. Maybe this is just a one-off. Maybe we're going through a rough season. It's going to get better if I just stick it out. And then every day, every moment, every minute that you're sticking it out, your physical health is deteriorating. Your mental health is deteriorating. Your relationships are suffering. Your self-doubt is increasing. Your self-confidence is going down the toilet. Your self-esteem is going down the toilet because you're in a place that is not feeding you. And so your life, health, your health, I should say, is just going down the drain while you're out here making excuses for the, air quotes, dream job, because it just has to get better. I prayed for this job. This is what I wanted. So it really can't be that bad. Yes, sis, it can be that bad. Okay? Let me pause here. Comments are coming through. I want to read them. I love the energy. So you said you like the shift from dream job to fulfilling career opportunity. Yes, please embrace that. The stuck feeling translates to inaction resonates a lot. Yes, too many women. This is why they come to me to work with me, is because you felt so stuck that now you're just in place. You're frozen like a deer in headlights and you can't take any action. You have overthought the situation to where now you're not doing anything. And this is one thing I always tell my clients. The only bad decision you can make, the only bad decision, is to not make a decision. And I will stand by that any day. Because for me, as long as you did your research and you made a decision with the information that was available to you, then it wasn't a bad, I stand by that. It wasn't a bad decision. As long as it was based on sound information. Too often, we conflate decision-making with outcomes. You can't control the outcome of your decision, but you can control the decision that you make. So as long as you have done sound research, as long as you did your due diligence, and you made a decision based on the information that you had available to you, you can make a very quality decision and the outcome still be bad, and that's not on you. You have to embrace, you know what? I made a decision with the information that was available to me at the time. And this is the outcome that has come out of it. It wasn't a good outcome. Now I have to deal with that. Okay? So let me see. Somebody gracefully said, this is so me. I outgrew it and stayed way too long. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that outgrowing roles at the end of this. Is this being recorded? Yes, I'll put a replay on my feed if you have to hop out. This was God sent. Love it. I love it. Thank God. I love when God speaks through me, because when he resonates with you, I know that that's God speaking. Okay, let me see any more comments. That's true. Facts. Sis, just call me out by name. Okay, Gracie, I'm calling you out by name. Teach us well. Thank God. I'm glad it's resonating. Yeah, don't conflate your decision with the outcome. Okay, don't do that. Okay, I wanted to catch up on the chats. So let me go back to the last two ways it's costing. And again, if as I'm sharing, you have a question, drop it in the question box. I'll do a Q&A at the end. Okay. So the third way that thinking you have a dream job is costing you is that it causes you to miss potential opportunities. Okay. It causes you to miss potential opportunities. When you have painted a picture in your mind of what your dream job looks like. So it's with this company, with this job title, making this much money. Now, let me mind you, when I work with my clients who are job searching, we do pick the amount that is our walkaway number. So let me not say, you know, it's not like we don't care about money. It's like there's a certain amount that we'll walk away from. But when you've painted this robust picture of this is exactly what my dream job is and needs to look like, what happens is because you've painted this picture in your mind and you're holding onto it for dear life, you have closed off your mind, your brain, your sight to other opportunities. You are no longer available to see what is available or what might come your way. You are no longer open to seeing other job opportunities that might be fulfilling for you because I have this one dream job that I'm looking for. So nothing else, if it doesn't fit my bill, if it don't hit my checklist, word for word for word, then it cannot possibly be the right job for me. So I'm just ignoring it. I'm going by it. I'm not checking for you. I'm not reading the job description. I'm not talking to the recruiter because that's not what I was looking for. Okay? Because it's not what I was looking for, I'm closed off. So here's the problem with that. Again, remember earlier I said we all have multiple jobs, multiple careers that we can realistically be fulfilled at. Because most of us are very multifaceted. We're very much diverse people. And so because you're multifaceted, you can be fulfilled in multiple careers. And so when you've closed off your mind to opportunities, sometimes you miss out on really good opportunities. Because you weren't checking for it, you miss out on other careers that would have been equally as fulfilling, that would have paid you equally as well, that you would have truly enjoyed. Because it didn't fit your dream, you think, oh, it must not be good enough. Let me give y'all a clear example. I'm working with a client right now who's job searching. And I remember when we started working together, she had a very specific role that she was looking for. Okay. And so we sat down, and this is one thing I do with all my job search clients. We painted a picture of, okay, who are you as a person? And then what roles will fit? And we came up with a few job titles that fit for her because we were job searching. She's right now in second round interviews with multiple companies at the same time. And none of those are the initial job titles she came in wanting. But are they still jobs that she's truly excited for? Heck yes. Because they align with who she was. And we were able to process through how will these jobs still be a fit and still get you to your goals. Again, CEO of your career, making goal-based decisions. Now, if she had stayed tied to that initial title that she came in with, she would have missed these, and mind you, she would have missed these opportunities. And mind you, all three of these opportunities that she's currently interviewing with are paying significantly more than what we had initially talked about because of the role she wanted initially. So when you close your mind off to opportunities, you miss out on opportunities. That's the only way I can say it. When you paint this picture of this is what my dream job is and you hold onto it too tightly, you can miss out on opportunities that might be better for you. Okay? Faithful Howard said, I wanted meritocracy. Doesn't exist in America. Never happened. I had to bet on me and I won. I love that. I just took in a new client. She's joining the next cohort of FYFC, Find a Fulfilling Career. And we had talked about how she used to be she just talked about how in all her jobs, she used to always work really, really hard because she thought that if she could just prove to them that she could do the job, she would get the promotion, and it never happened. And that's a conversation for a whole other day. I should make a note of it. We should talk about that. Stop working. Stop proving yourself of the jobs you already have. Okay? Kim said, that's real. I always wanted that and have never seen it. Yeah, for sure. So that's number three. Number four way that your dream job is costing you. Linguistic addict, I see that question. Do me a favor, drop it in the question box. Okay? Bottom right, tap the question box. I'm going to do a Q&A. After I share this fourth point and the two mindset shifts I want you to embrace. So do me a favor, drop it in the question box. So the fourth way your dream job is costing you is, and this is sort of like, it's like the opposite of everything I've said up until this point, but it's still facts, is that it causes you to quit on a good thing too soon because it felt like work. And I'm putting work in air quotes, okay? Immediately you start feeling like work, you quit on it. This couldn't possibly be my dream job. Why is this so hard? This cannot be fulfilling work. Why does it feel like work? They told me, y'all, they told me, do something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. BS. Lies. Scam. They're lying. It's not true. Let's talk about it. Okay. Let's talk about it. Okay. They said, if I do what I love, I would never have to work a day in my life. Lies. And this is what I tell my clients all the time. Your fulfilling work, your fulfilling career doesn't mean it will never feel like work. Let me tell you something. We were created to work. Okay, let me back up. I'm saying this from my Christian perspective. Okay? God created us to work. Go read Ecclesiastes. I didn't say that right. Ecclesiastes? However you say it. You know the book I'm talking about, y'all. I did a whole series last year, and if you go to my Instagram page and you scroll through my videos, you'll see a whole series on God and your career and how God created us to work. We were created to work with the toil of our hands, and God blesses us when we work. Our career, our work, is how we build wealth to be a blessing to other people. We were made to work. Okay? So the mark of a fulfilling career is not that it will never feel like work. It's that even when it feels like work, you still enjoy it. Even when it feels like work, you're still thriving in it. That's the mark of a fulfilling career. Because what happens is when you're doing fulfilling work, it's aligned with who you are. It's aligned with your interests. It's aligned with your skills. It's aligned with your values. Okay, so when you are in those moments that it starts to feel like work, I have to learn a new skill. I have to learn a new way of doing things. Because the topic, the industry, or the concept is interesting to you, even as you're working at it, it still feels good because you're still curious about it. You're still genuinely wanting to be engaged. And then on the other end of the work, when you've developed a new skill, you've gotten the answer, you've accomplished something, you feel really good about yourself because it's like, yes, I did that. I learned this skill. I accomplished that thing. It's like as you're working on it, it's pouring back into you. Thank you, Erin, for the badge. Thank you, Natai, for the badge, y'all. I don't take these badges for granted. I really do appreciate them. So it's that even when you're working, it feels good on the other end of it because you have accomplished something that is aligned with your interest. So let me use myself as an example. I told y'all, my full-time job is as a faculty member. I'm a professor, assistant professor, but professor. I teach counselors. And so a big part of my work is doing research. And before my PhD, y'all, I used to, actually, I still say, I'm not a math person, but I had a really great statistics teacher when I was doing my PhD, and he made me start to enjoy quantitative research. But it doesn't mean that I love research. I'm good at it. Thank God. God has given me the skills, but I still don't love it. Okay. I can do it. And for me, when it comes time to do data analysis, when I'm analyzing data to try to write my research, whoo, child, without fail, y'all, I'm out here doing all the YouTubing and the Googling, trying to find the answers because it's like, Jesus, what am I supposed to be doing here? Help me. Like, no, I'm not kidding. I literally pause when I'm doing my analysis and I pray. I'm like, God, I need your help right now because this doesn't make sense. It's not working. And God be coming through. And so after doing, in those moments, y'all, my job feels like work. When I'm trying to do, it feels like work. When I'm grading these papers that I assign the students, it feels like work. But on the other end, when the analysis works out, when I can write this manuscript and it gets published and I know it'll make a difference, I feel good. I was analyzing data that had to do with topics that I was interested in. When I read these papers, I don't like grading it, but at the end, when I'm seeing how my students are changing and how they're thinking critically, I feel good about the work I'm doing. So it's not that it doesn't feel like work, it's that even in the moments when it feels like work, I'm still growing, I'm still developing, and I still feel good about myself and what I'm learning. So when you have this picture in your mind of what a dream job is, the moment it feels like work, you quit on it. You quit on it because in your head, if it's a dream, it must always be easy, right? Wrong. No, that's not how it works. So the next time someone tells you, find what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, tell them, I call BS. I love what I do and I'm working every day. Work is not synonymous with dissatisfaction or unenjoyment. Work is putting effort into something. And we all know, they say anything worth doing at all, or no, anything worth it is worth working on. I'm mixing things up now, y'all. I'm mixing up my sayings. But pretty much, the things that matter in life don't come easy to us. We work at them. Including your fulfilling career. You have to work at it. If you have goals to do better in your career, you have to work at it. Work to develop your skills. Work to learn new knowledge. Work to become better. Work to improve. Right? And so if your dream job in your head comes easy to you and it's all rainbows and butterfly and hunky-dory and we just out here living a life, when it feels like work, you're running away from it. Instead of putting yourself into it, instead of putting effort into it and upskilling again because you genuinely enjoy what you're doing, not because you're trying to stick out a bad situation. Because you genuinely enjoy what you're doing, working at it is rewarding. I was about to say working at it will feel good, but no, sometimes the work doesn't always feel good. But if it's aligned work, it's always rewarding. That I would stand by that statement. At the end of the work, it's rewarding. Okay? Those are the four ways your dream job is costing you. Let me go check out these comments because they were popping off. That's me, Natai. I wonder which one that was you, but you say yes. I see the laugh emojis. You said let's. So that let's was let's talk about how they're lying to you. I remember that when that came through. Maybe we start looking at work as an investment. I love that, Ekua. Let's start looking at work as an investment in your growth, an investment in your development, an investment in your skills, an investment in your, mind you, and this is another topic I need to talk about, but work benefits us. Like there is research that consistently shows that people who work, and this is the caveat I will put, I'm going to say fulfilling work, aligned work, are happier than people who don't. Like when people, I remember I was listening to a podcast, Brandon, I forgot his last name, Brandon from Bigger Pockets. He's not a Bigger Pockets anymore. But he talked about how this resonated so much that anybody who has the ability to retire early usually can't. And that's because the work fulfills them. So even when they get to the point where they can sit back and retire, 6 months in, they're like, I am bored AF. I need to be working. And that's the thing, like research has shown even just in our careers, people who are not working, it's like the idleness literally rots your brain. You get so bored, you're so dissatisfied that you go look for work. And so yes, it definitely is an investment because people who work, who are doing truly fulfilling work, they tend to be happier than people who are not working at all. And then everybody's obviously happier than people who are doing unfulfilling work.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Be sure to listen to the part 2 Q&A portion of this series. And if you haven't yet, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, let's continue the conversation. Take a screenshot of this episode and share it on Instagram. Tag me at hercareerdoctor and let me know your main takeaway. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you on the next episode.